But as I said, in God's providence, he had Doug on his way on up to his folks and agreed to preach to us this day. So I've asked, since we have a shortened service, that Doug would take the opportunity to again introduce his family to us, as well as give some remarks about the work that he has ongoing right now and the present issues and needs in Brazil. So, Doug, welcome.
Brothers, it's great to be here with you. I remember about 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago, we were anxious and praying about the possibility of going to Brazil. And, you know, we were just a little short. You know, it was tough times. I don't know if we can go yet, working with the mission board, especially financially, trying to get it all together. And this church particularly basically said, you got to go. You're going. We're coming on board with you and send us off there. So it's good. It's good to be here. We're thankful every single week. We pray. We have seven boys, as you guys know, Leah and I, and we've been there for 7 years. And since we have seven boys, each day one of the boys prays in prayer time. And one of those days is for this church. And so we remember you every single week and very thankful for you. The boys went to Brazil as little guys, and now, you know, I think my oldest is 17, right? Darius is 17. Then we have Zan, 16. We have Titus, he's 15, just turned 15. And then Solomon is 13. Are you 13, Solomon? 12. Then we have Lucas, who is 11, and Roman just turned 10, and Silas is our little guy who was born in Brazil, and he is now 5 years old. And so when we often will go to Brazil, seven boys in Brazil is basically unheard of. Seven children is basically unheard of. And so often, as people, you know, stare especially at Leah, if she goes to a store or something with all the boys, I'm sure you all know that a little bit. We remember back to this church, you know, often when we come and visit here, we're like the small family that, you know, hey, go in the back of the line. There's a lot of big families that need some help here. So that's been fun. A lot going on in Brazil, and what are we up to? Once we got there, landed, and basically brought this field called biblical counseling to the northeast of Brazil, I don't believe there was any professor who had finished any sort of degree in that discipline, in that field, biblical counseling. So I was able to get right into seminary and just, you know, started translating materials and basically passing it on to guys who are now pastors, and they're actually implementing biblical counseling in their vision of ministry for the local church. And it's been amazing to see. When you bring something, it's exciting, it's new, and you get a lot of, you know, calls. Hey, can you come do a conference here and there? And so the Lord has allowed us to do a lot of that over these past 7 years. So we feel very grateful to the Lord. I don't feel, you know, as if I should have had the privilege to take a discipline to, especially the northeast of Brazil, where the north of Brazil is the poorer part of the country of Brazil. São Paulo and Rio down there in the south are definitely a little bit more advanced in every way, economically and even theologically. So there may have been some guys, I have some friends who were doing biblical counseling in those parts. But not much up in our area of the country. And so, once again, it was just a great privilege to be able to do kind of pioneering things. There's a new pioneering thing going on in Brazil as well. And I think at least we've been able to help encourage what they call educação domiciliar, home education. It's very brand new. And I remember probably some of you were actually, you know, in the initial phases of the movement of homeschooling in America, some of you were probably remember those days, 20, 30, you know, maybe 40 years ago, when very few people were doing it. There were, you know, issues with the government. Are we going to get, you know, thrown in prison for trying to do this and trying to encourage, you know, government people to accept this and get this onto the legislative, you know, get it all legal and all that. So that's exactly the phase we're in right now. And so as well, we've been able to just, I think, help encourage that a little bit. So it's been a great blessing. We've taught in seminaries. What else have we done? Conferences and those kinds of things, helped local churches. We served in a local church in Recife for 7 years. Recife is somewhat the capital, at least historically, the capital city of the northeast of Brazil, which is, you know, the northeast is 5 or 6 or 7 states in Brazil. And what else has been going on that I could relay to you? Brazil currently is very much like America. We haven't been able to worship together for months now. It's been, I think, a couple months. That's been very, very difficult for the Brazilian church, as I'm sure it is has been for us here as well. Was in that church in Recife for about 7 years. Recently, I don't think it's been a year yet, we've rented a house in another little part of the state of Pernambuco called Aldeia. It's just a little bit outside of the big city of Recife. And we lived in an apartment for those 6 or 7 years. And as you can imagine, living in an apartment with 7 boys full of energy on the 17th floor, it can get a little bit difficult at times, especially worrying about the person below you. She was somewhat of a saint that she didn't complain very much. We're thankful for her. But it was a little bit hard, especially for me, I think, coming, you know, growing up in Washington State and having to go mow the lawn and do all those things that you normally do, to have none of that. It was great for study and for translating and for getting curriculums up and running. We had time in that sense. There was nothing else to do except work. But we're very thankful to be now a little bit more out what we would call in the country. And the boys actually need to mow the lawn now. And we have all sorts of fruit trees and on the property. We're renting a house from a group called the Canadian Reform. They have a Canadian Reform mission there. And it's somewhat, we're in like a somewhat like a compound. It's actually a seminary that they have within this walled structure. And a missionary named Kenneth Whiskey is up there in Canada now. He had just asked the mission, hey, can we build a house? We're living here on this compound. We're kind of too centrally located, and the students are in and out, and it's hard to have any privacy. Can we build a house out in the back of the property? And they did that. And as he just completed that house, he as well has 6 or 7 kids. He found out he has cancer. And so he was trying to deal with that cancer in Brazil, but decided to go back to Canada. Thank the Lord, he's recovered from that, did the surgeries and all that, and is back up on his feet and actually pastoring a church there in northern Canada. But he decided through this whole process, we're just not going to go back to Brazil. And so that house was vacant. And so in God's providence, we were able to rent that from them. And so we have some good friends around us, some professors that live there on the land. And the boys are actually starting to take Greek with the other. There's a very small seminary, just a couple students right now. So we kind of injected a lot of life into the classroom there. So that's been exciting. And what we're doing now, we have a project that we're developing right at this current moment. Basically, the legal documents are taking a lot longer than I thought it would. If you ever lived in a socialist country, you'll understand all the barriers and all the documentation and all the signatures and excuse me, all the fees and all these things that are involved. And myself learning this, you know, kind of for the first time, it was quite a process. But the lawyers have checked everything off, and it's right now the city council. We just had one more signature to sign, and that's all being done right now. So basically, this project is legally up and running, and there's 4 components of this project. One is to train men, pastors, leaders who are interested in that region of the country in this discipline of biblical counseling. A lot of older pastors have never heard about this, didn't get any training about this in seminary, because in those days they didn't have this discipline in seminary. So they're coming back to kind of learn about this and get training in it. So that's one area we want to continue to do. This will make me independent in a sense from a seminary, meaning I don't have to wait for a call from a seminary, say, hey, come teach this course, come teach this discipline. We can offer the course, the discipline, and often we can do it at a better price. then a normal seminary in Brazil would be able to do it. I still do teach at the seminary and what's, I guess we call continuing studies program. They call it a post-graduação in biblical counseling. I was able to kind of mount this course there, and I'm still, I would say, the main teacher, though we have some other teachers now that are involved. We go through about 7 or 8 disciplines in that course. And so I can offer that all on these grounds that providentially God has allowed us to not inherit. It's not mine, but I have become responsible, let's put it that way, for a piece of property that actually mom and dad used to take care of 40, 50 years ago in Brazil. It was an orphanage at that time. And that's why dad and mom went back to Brazil. And there were missionaries there for some years. Well, that land, through the decades, it was no longer an orphanage. The government regulations and all the things made it too difficult. And so they've abandoned that project for decades now. And so, but this land has kind of been laying dormant there for some time. And there's a little, you know, there's actually a little soccer field. There's a little pool. There's some dormitories. And there's just some buildings on there that need to be used for the glory of God. And so the directors came to me, I think about 3 years ago, and said, "Hey, you know, you're a missionary. None of us are missionaries. We know that this land needs to be used for the glory of God. Do you want to do anything with it?" And so this opportunity was laid before us, and by God's grace, we've taken the challenge on, and it's been quite a challenge to try to maintain it and to organize all the things. Now I have 4 men with me from Brazil who are helping me, a pastor, an elder in a local church there, and 1 other young man. And they are the directors of this new board that's over this land. And then also we'll have a supervisory board of pastors who will help guide me as I do training in biblical counseling. And as well, that's 1 component. The second component would be to provide a refuge house for pastors, leaders, elders. Possibly we could broaden out to others, but at this moment that will focus on those people who have struggles, who have needs, who have problems, who have a marriage that's falling apart, who have a crisis, an emotional crisis, or those kinds of things. They need a place to get out of that intense local church context, and maybe the elders will send them, "Hey, we've got some struggles going on here. We don't have the time to deal with this all. Can he go and stay there?" And so that's the kind of place we're developing, maybe something like a refuge house where these men could come, even with their families, and enjoy a beautiful part of God's creation, very green, lush, very tropical-looking area. I hope maybe you've seen some photos already. I don't know. I can get you some if you'd like to see that. So that would be the second component, to provide a place for pastors and elders. The third component would just be a place as well where we can train in worldview kind of issues. We can talk about, one of the things we have on the agenda right now is to provide a place, since a lot of the families are pioneering in homeschooling. They're kind of fragmented and dislocated, and they don't have any really clear direction and not too much encouragement. So they're kind of all, you know, they need some encouragement. And so we want to provide a place where they could come and say, "Hey, we're going to offer some courses, biblical counseling, systematic theology, a short course." But one of the ideas is, yes, to help train them, give them some good ideas, have some of the good pastors come in and teach in these areas, apologetics, other courses, maybe some grammar, Greek and Hebrew, or whatever we can get together. We have a good group of men who could help us with that. But these families then come together. They can stay there on the property. There's dormitories. There's a kitchen. And they could have some good fellowship, and then we can help orient them in this area as well. So that's just one example of the way we want to use it as far as this worldview project goes. We'll open up to other courses and other things. We love to be able to do just, I mean, the ideas don't stop. If you have some great ideas, let me know. I mean, we'd love to do some recreation activities for local churches. Hey, we're gonna do a race, and then we could do evangelism, something like, I think it's called the Spartan Race here in America. So some of those kinds of things where we could really help guide and do some evangelism and things like that. So it's exciting. That's what's going on. The fourth and final component of that place, because you're going to say, "Well, that's a big piece of property. How are we going to support all this financially?" And so the fourth component comes in to help out a lot with that, which is to use this place. Let churches, a local church wants to have, or a local presbytery. Hey, we want a place for our presbytery meeting. Instead of going to that hotel, could we rent your place for the weekend or for a few days? And so we hope to make it a nice enough place, an attractive enough place to where the churches will want to come and do their camps there. And we've done that over the past couple of years. It is a place that's nice enough. We need to spruce it up. And that's the heavy burden upon us now to try to get it to the place. So that's the invitation I have for you. If you'd like to come, stay some time there with us, maybe a little group of young men, strong, know how to build. We need to build a few little buildings. The boys actually just started construction in Brazil there. They worked with the man and built a nice shop because we didn't have any place to fix things and all that. So my boys have helped out a lot with that. So that's the invitation. Please come and we can give you more details about that. We'd love to have you. Now we have a lot of space to house as many people. If you know people who are interested in getting out of the country, seeing another part of the world, seeing some of the struggles of the third world, ideal location to see that. You'll be able to see poverty. You'll be able to see beauty, nature, beaches, and all those kinds of things. So hopefully you can come and visit us. That's just a general overview of what's going on in Brazil right now. Thank you for letting me do that. Pastor, the elder said, hey, you got a little more time because, you know, it's the first day back and our liturgy is a little bit shortened up. So I know that was maybe an extended version of what's going on in Brazil, but thank you for the opportunity.